The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Welcome to Unhappy Hour, the show where we bitch about all the things we love to hate every single week. I'm your host, Matt Bellassai. I'm here in the studio, as always, with my producer, Barry Finkel. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Matt. Happy Valentine's
Don't
Day.
Don't you dare. I will have no mention of that satanic holiday until we get to the second half of this Valentine's Day themed episode. Do you understand me?
Loud and clear.
All right, good. Let's get on with it then. Because as always, we're going to start today's episode with Worst Things First, where I chat about the worst news of the week. After that, we got comedian, author, and our resident dating and relationship expert, Lane Moore, on the pod. She's back. We've had her on the pod last year for a Valentine's Day dating and relationship advice episode, so we decided to make it an annual segment, and we got some great listener submissions, so let's get into it. Let's do it. Let's eat a box of chocolate alone in our apartments and start the show. All right, worst things first, let's talk about the worst news of the week. First, the iconic Oscar Mayer Wienermobile was pulled over in Wisconsin by a sheriff's deputy because it failed to give enough room to another car on the road with its emergency lights on. Typical penis.
Just sticking it in places that doesn't belong.
Taking
no one
too
wants
too much
them.
Space. Who knew vehicles could man spread on the street? In its defense, it is Wisconsin, and I feel like the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile should have priority on the road.
It's basically the same equivalent as the presidential motorcade.
Yeah. Emergency vehicles should pull over for the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile. How about that?
Yeah.
Oh, you going to the hospital? No. Pull over for the wiener. Pull over for the hot dog. What is in that thing?
I don't know, but I want to give birth in it.
Okay.
I was just thinking
is
about...
this like you, like you don't make it to the hospital?
Yeah. Because my husband, the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile driver, is trying to get me to the hospital, but it doesn't make it in time. So I have to have it in the mobile.
It's one of those like iconic vehicles that I have no idea what purpose it serves.
Is it just stuffed to the brim, stuffed to the bun
stuffed
with
to the,
hot dogs?
The casings, the hot dog casing.
Or bodies.
Ooh.
We've never seen the inside. We don't
I
know.
Want, instead of a hearse at my funeral, I want to be brought to my grave in the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile.
It's the most beautiful image I've ever had.
I would also like to be buried in a hot dog bun, not a coffin.
Matt, I will make this happen.
Or coffin, but it's made of bread.
Mm.
And everybody gets to take a piece of it.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
I want one that touches your skin.
Just for you. Yeah, I'm truly very confused by what exactly the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile is and what is it, whether there are multiples of them or if there's just one, like the Popemobile.
I hope it's one.
Or is it like ice cream trucks where they're just everywhere all the time and they're inescapable? Can you buy hot dogs from it? I want answers. I want an explanation. This is easily Googleable, but I refuse. Also, it's like this happened in Wisconsin where there's two roads. So can this emergency vehicle chill out? You had to pull over the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile because it didn't give enough space to an emergency vehicle. Go around it. There's literally nobody else on the road. The deputy pulled over the Wienermobile and gave the driver a verbal warning for not following the law. That's what they said in a tweet posted by the Waukesha.
Waukesha? It's Waukesha.
Sorry, Waukesha, I'm not.
Right? Pretty sure it's Waukesha.
My family didn't personally kick out the Waukesha Native American tribe.
It's fair.
The tweet posted by the sheriff's office showed a picture of the sheriff's deputy SUV parked behind the Wienermobile with the hashtag move over, hashtag slow down. Don't you dare. Don't you dare tell the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile to slow down or move over. Let the dick free. Next! Police in Connecticut are trying to identify a man they say got a job at a gas station and then proceeded to steal $17,000 on his first and only overnight shift. Honestly, first of all, I'm just impressed that there's $17,000 worth of anything at a gas station.
Yeah.
I assume that there's maybe $500 at any gas station worth of stuff.
That's a fair assumption. I don't know any different.
Right. Oh, how much is a stick of gum? $3?
Times that by like 1,000. This more money.
I also love, they said that the man stole, so it was like his first day he got hired, or at least his first overnight shift by himself. He stole his employment folder, which contained his personal information, and the store owner does not even know his name. It's like, he stole his own name tag, and they were like, we have no idea who this is. It's like, all right, maybe you deserve this. Not to victim blame, but like you absolutely deserve to have been stolen from. Sorry about it.
That's the way it is.
The owner told investigators that he used an app on his phone to view the store security cameras and noticed that the employee had left his shift. And then when he got there, found out that he'd stolen lottery tickets, 89 boxes of cigarettes, and money worth a total of more than $17,000.
Sorry that he knows how to have a good time.
Yeah.
Lottery tickets and boxes of cigarettes? That's my Saturday night. That's my Sunday night. Honestly, that's my Wednesday morning.
That was my 18th birthday. I was like, hit me up. Hit me up with these cigs and these lotto tickets. I never win. I never win anything.
One time I was with my grandma and she let me scratch it off and she won $12 and then she didn't give it to me. And I was like, bitch move.
I think giving lottery tickets as gifts is the weirdest shit.
It's rude. It's a, what's the word? Bullshit?
It's because there are two potential outcomes. Either they lose and it's like, congrats, you got them nothing. Or they win and then it's weird because you bought it and they won. And then it's like, you should have won.
Yeah.
My grandma loves getting lottery tickets as gifts.
Your grandma loves to gamble.
She really does. She has a problem. I think she's cut back. Yeah.
Girl's got a bingo.
That
should be our merch.
My mom told me yesterday that she got a bingo, but didn't realize. She like missed calling the bingo and you have to call it on
right.
The number or you miss out. And so she's hoping this will like lead my grandma to recognize that she has some memory loss issues.
Oh, no.
So you really want to get at the heart of my grandma's psyche. You go for bingo. Any situation. Yeah.
Is that how you came out to her? You had the balls call and it's I M G.
Yep. All the bingo. Why? And finally, two men in Florida, only in Florida, were pulled over in Santa Rosa County after a trooper caught them going 95 miles per hour on the interstate. But that's not the best part. Best part is the trooper recognized that one of them had a felony warrant out, so they called in backup, including a canine sniffer.
Ooh, little dogs just on the job.
And they found a bag of drugs, which was labeled bag full of drugs.
Nice. They love to be organized.
Yeah. So the police department posted on Facebook a photo of it and said, note to self, do not traffic your illegal narcotics in bags labeled bag full of drugs. Our canines can read. Why don't you do your goddamn job? You had to have a dog come in and tell you there were drugs when there was a thing that said bag full of drugs. Maybe stop making jokes on the internet, police, and start doing your fucking job.
I also want to point out, because I saw the photo because a couple listeners submitted this one, that it's not like they just wrote bag full of drugs like on a post-it note and then put it on the bag. It's like one of those Urban Outfitters like ironic bags that's like bag full of drugs. Yeah, that's definitely what's in here. Not my laptop.
Right.
But in this case, they were like, oh, that's like perfect for what we're doing.
Yeah, yeah. And it was like not, it was a pretty significant amount of like hard drugs. Meth and like date rape drugs and like, yeah, a small amount of cocaine and other stuff, but the fun ones. I do not endorse any drug use besides all the ones that I buy at the pharmacy, and also weed and alcohol and chocolate. A little naughty. And that's it for this week's Worst Things First. Next, we got Lane Moore in the studio, who's going to help us help you solve all of your love life problems or make them worse. Deep dive, deep dive, deep dive, deep dive, deep dive. Deep dive,
deep dive,
deep dive, deep dive, deep dive. All right, so it's that time of year again where single people like me get to tell you how to love. So we brought in our resident dating and relationship expert, Lane Moore, to help us out. You know her from her show, Tinder Live, her book, How to Be Alone If You Want To, or Even If You Don't, and obviously from our last Valentine's episode. Welcome back.
Thank you so much. Although I don't know why I'm like laughing when you're just like our resident relationship expert. I'm like, I am. Though, like, it's so funny whenever people are like, I'm like, oh, that's hilarious. It's like, no, you literally like,
I mean,
have
yeah,
won awards and shit. It is you. It's just that like when you're still single, you're like, and yet.
Yeah. Like, I think if it is not immediately clear to us in the room, it should be immediately clear to everybody that we are not, none of our advice should be followed or trusted.
Yeah, it's like, but it's weird though, because it's like, in terms of like me with love, it's like those who can't do teach.
Sure.
You know, or it's like, I actually do give really good dating advice. And a lot of people have been like, oh my God, I found a better partner because of you. And like, I read your book and now I have better relationships than I've ever had. And I'm like, and I feel like an 85-year-old woman like drinking scotch in a row being like, I'm glad it's working for you, kid. Like, I'm just like, because I do. It's like, no, I'm saying good stuff. Yeah. It's just like, for me, it hasn't worked yet.
I will say, compared to a year ago, I certainly have more like scars on under my belt.
Totally.
So I feel a little more qualified than I did last year.
Yeah. I think so. You know, I mean, I think if you keep learning from your mistakes, even if they're like very similar mistakes, like I'm just like, oh, I do seem to keep dating the same pile of garbage just in different outfits.
Right. Yeah.
Like a paper doll.
Part of my discovery is just learning that it doesn't matter. They're all trash.
I think maybe.
Or I'm the problem.
Or
but
both.
It's easier for me to blame everybody else. Anyway.
I know.
Let's just try to fix other people.
Yeah, we'll try to fix other people's lives.
That seems easier.
Let's do it. All right, we got a lot of submissions. I'm very excited to go through these. I also wanted to point out that we're just going to do it all anonymous. So people who submitted, you know who you are. Let's get into it. All right. Our first question. What do you guys think is an appropriate amount of time to be hooking up / dating someone before, quote unquote, defining the relationship?
What do they call it? DTR?
DTR, yeah.
I'd never heard that phrase before.
Ugh, I have.
Are you not a fan of it?
No, because, well, okay, so my, and this is a hard take that I have, define it as soon as possible, because I just got out of something that was like, we were so together. We were such a couple. It was ridiculous. Like, we're like joking about marriage and stuff, and yet we hadn't defined the relationship. I'm like, shut up. Like, I am so over this idea of like, oh, it's just casual when like, I don't know what their dynamic is, but like, our dynamic was straight up, we're a couple. Like, we were doing everything a couple does, but we didn't want to define that. Like, shut up. Like, we're together. Because the thing is, the way I look at it, when you break up, like if it ends, it doesn't like hurt less because you didn't define it. Like, right. I think the idea is to like mitigate feelings, but that's not what happens. If you were close with someone, it's going to hurt the same whether or not you called it something or not. So I'm very anti like, let's keep it chill. Like, it's not chill. You're two people with feelings.
Right.
Ugh, I'm so over it.
Yes, starting off strong.
I know, because that shit makes me angry. I'm just tired of it. Like, like that's, you can't control how you feel about somebody. And if you're immediately connected and you're super connected, whether or not you call them your girlfriend or boyfriend, if they are, like, what are you, it's just, and it's like gaslighting. It turns into gaslighting sometimes.
Right, right.
You're like, we are, though. You cannot call it that. Just like, you could call me Gail if you wanted. I'm still Lane, and you know it. It's a weird comparison, but it's true.
I'm always, clearly I will be approaching everything through the lens of, I don't know, the past, like, 3 weeks of my life.
Great.
It's been a sensitive 3 weeks.
I mean.
It has been a very,
same.
We have learned in history, in the history of my life, aka history, that these particular 2 weeks of February, not the best for me. I am also the type of person where it's like one date goes well and I'm like, okay, what are we?
Totally. Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm somebody who's like very much all in, and it's also like, I don't know if you experience this, but it's like the more well-known you are and people kind of know what your deal is, I'm like, why are you shocked that you're going out with me and I like want us to define it? I've like written an entire book about how it's bullshit to not define it. Like,
yeah,
that's my whole vibe. My whole vibe is not like too cool for it.
That's the thing I think is that I'm clouded by the fact that I feel even more of a pressure to be like, okay, what are you actually like here for?
Yeah.
And want to be as clear about that as possible.
Yeah.
So it's like, it almost feels more important. It feels less important to necessarily like put a label on it. I know I'm feeding into that. The terminology, and more important to be like, I don't know, just clear about intentions.
Because if your intentions, okay, let's say your intentions are like, I think it would be okay if you're somebody who's like hung up on labels for whatever reason, like that's your damage, fine. But if for you to say like, hey, like I am dating you with the intent to like be in a relationship with you, I think that we'll like see how it goes for a couple weeks. But like ideally, I'd be your boyfriend. Like, I think that's rad.
Right.
Like,
right.
Because and that's basically where I'm coming from. I think that we have this idea that's often very sexist, but I think we do it across all genders. That's just like, if somebody, you know, wants to define the relationship really soon, it's like, you think that that person, especially if it's a woman, is trying to like lock you down into marriage. And it's like, no, like, right. I just want to make sure that like, I'm giving my feelings to somebody who's going to be reciprocating them and is going to be like careful with my heart. Like, not to sound cheesy, but it's like fucking true. Like,
yeah, yeah.
I don't know if I want to marry you either, you stupid turd, but I just want to know that, like, because it didn't used to be like this. Like, even like a couple years ago, it was just like, you would date someone and then you just like keep dating and it was just right. Cool. And now it's like, I don't know. We've been dating for like 6 months and I don't want to label it. Like, shut up. 6 months.
So, yeah, there's a solution in there somewhere.
Yeah, I'd say we solved it.
We solved it. You heard it.
Next one. What do you do when you have a crush on your neighbor and you hooked up twice and now they aren't interested, but you still run into them all the time? This is a juicy one.
I don't know. Getting over like a crush, you just have to picture them doing something horrible.
like shitting somewhere inappropriately?
Call the police on them, I think, is what needs to happen. All Get right. them arrested.
The first thing I thought of was move. I mean, I don't know what the market is like in your local area, but I would just really move. Because, like, who cares? I mean, if it's weighing that much on you emotionally, it's like, it sounds like I'm joking, and I sort of am, but I'm sort of not.
Yeah.
Find a way to make them want to move, such as set rats upon them.
Right.
Out crazy them. Start, take all your emotions, display them. them very inappropriately all over their doors, walls, hallway. Still thinking of you, Jeff. Right on their door. LOL, Jeff, remember when the sex? LOL, Jeff, remember when the sex? That'll be so funny. You might get a restraining order. But you won't have to move.
That's problem solved.
Or you will have to move because of the restraining order.
I don't think. Yeah. Then it's up to the judge. Then it's a judge deciding for you and not
you.
It's
a judge deciding. That's not up to you.
Yeah. Solved it.
Yeah, solved it. Solved it.
Our next question is advice for a thick girl. And she put the like little wavy things and spelled it T-H-I-C-C.
Uh-huh.
So advice for a thick girl dating a skinnier guy. I'm attracted to my boyfriend like crazy, but can't help feeling self-conscious that I'm bigger than him.
That's a real thing. I mean, whether the weight difference between you is slight or significant, it's a real thing. But that's only... I don't know. I think the main advice that I would give is to remember why that is, and that is because of patriarchy. This is the most serious answer I'm going to give the whole podcast. But we tell women that they have to be small and fragile so that men can be big and strong and take care of them, or we're supposed to be weak and little. So when I have been in that situation, like one time I had a boyfriend who like tried on my jeans and they like fit him better, and I was really mad.
Yeah,
that was like I'm hating this, and you have a penis. But I just, you know, I tried to remind myself, like, well, A, I mean, he's into you. He's with you.
Yeah.
Try to take that as like, this person loves you. But also just remember the reasons why you feel weird about this is because we've been taught that, like, men have to be big and we have to be small. And, like, it comes from a really shitty, hateful place. So.
Right. Yeah. My job here is just relating to everybody. You solve everything and I'll just be like, girl, same. But no, yeah. I mean, I also think I, like, so much of that is, it's just you learning to, like, love yourself.
Totally.
More, and it's, like, clearly your boyfriend is, he's with you, then, yeah, he likes you.
But I think you can also, if you need, like, more validation from him, I think that's okay to ask, too.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Yeah. I've had to ask my boyfriend, because he's not very vocal about compliments, and I had to tell him, like, hey, I really need those compliments, and then he's better at it. And it's, like, it's something that we have to work on together, but he might not know that if he's not giving it to you, that that's something you need. So talking about that. Also, finding things that make you feel really sexy, I think, could help too. And like whether that's like an outfit or something like that, that just like will make you feel really sexy will make everything better for that too.
Yeah. And it's also just like we've been taught that like thicker women means that you're like less powerful or less beautiful, but it's not accurate. And so exactly like finding an outfit or like a lipstick or even a mindset or an affirmation or whatever that makes you feel powerful, makes you feel like, you know, it's just so shitty that we're taught that like we only have power and desirability like as small as we can possibly be. And it's like, no. Because if you look at it like... in like, you know, I don't know when this was, like medieval times or whatever. It's like when somebody was like really fat, it was like fat and happy. It was like, oh, my God, you have tons of money. You have tons of money and resources and food. And it was this like it meant that you were fucking boss.
Yeah.
Like if you were fat, you were like fucking crushing life. And now it's just like, oh, what are you doing? And it's like to remember that like just because society has shifted like back and forth that way, like you can still be fucking powerful.
Yeah.
Solved it.
Yeah.
Solved it. Truly.
All right, the next one is, hey, I recently went on vacation in another country. I met a boy I'd completely date, but I don't want to end up on 90 Day Fiancé. What do I do?
She met a boy in another country?
He met a boy in another country.
He met another country. Okay, yes.
Yep. And they were, like, together for, like, a week.
I, like, never hear the pronouns. I'm just like, what?
They were together for, like, a week throughout the whole vacation. Okay, yes. And now he's back in the States, and the boy is still in the other country, and he doesn't know what to do.
You missed out.
I know. There's a little part of me that's exactly. I was just like, and you move on, I guess. Cool. Yeah.
Hold on to that feeling of excitement and wonder and like remember that paradise. But
yeah, and
let
then,
it
like,
live
guess,
there.
Like post like thirsty emojis on his Instas. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't.
Forever?
I don't know what else.
Masturbate? Have you masturbated?
That is the most frustrating thing about just like Instagram in general. I mean, there are so many people that that I have imagined relationships with on Instagram that I could absolutely, if we lived in the same city, be like, yeah, we'd be married. that's not how it works.
Especially when it's another country.
But yeah, I do think, I mean, I think there are a lot more things. I'm thinking specifically about Call Me By Your Name, which is, you know, gay canon at this point. It is just our experience. But it's like, I mean, whether you are an adult Armie Hammer dating a teenage Timothée Chalamet or someone who went on vacation for a week, it's like the whole point is you can kind of like appreciate what you have in that moment. And, like, recognize the, like, ephemerality of it without having to be, like, in a relationship with someone.
I do really appreciate that, like, they in a lot of these questions, like, there's, like, a romantic spirit in a lot of these that's, like, kind of really sweet. Like, the fact that this person's, I mean, I'm not saying they're entirely healthy, but, like, the fact that this guy
come to the right place,
right,
clearly.
But I do love that it's just, like, oh, I met this, and I can't stop thinking about him, and it's just, like, we met in this other, like, that's very, like, me shit.
Right.
I like that. I really, like, I appreciate it. Again, I don't think that it's ultimately, like, gonna help you in any way. But it makes me, but I like it because I feel like we live in such a society that's kind of like, eh, people are disposable. I'll meet another one, blah, blah, blah. So I really like to, like, hear from people around the world who are just like, I met this person and they're special and I can't stop thinking about them. I think it's really cool.
All right. I love this next one. It is, what's a good way to tell someone you don't want to date them because they are on their phone too much and it is extremely unattractive to you? This goes for friendships too, I guess. Just because I'm trying to remember details about Pharrell crying over how much people love Happy on Oprah does not mean I want to watch it on your phone or know what year it was. But better yet, is there a chill, fun way to convey that on a dating profile in advance? Everyone seems very angry when they say things they don't like. So it's a two-parter. It's like, how do you tell someone that? And also, how do you, like, make that a part of your profile in a fun way?
I don't feel like I meet a lot of people who do that.
Do you mean I don't know. Never anybody that I felt like, okay, we have to have like a conversation.
That's what I'm
about
saying.
This.
So this is like, it's hard for me to relate to that, fortunately. So it's like, I definitely can answer the second part of that question and say, like, don't put that on there because like no one's going to know what you mean by that. And like, I could think like, oh my, I guess I'm on my phone. Like I'm on social media. Is she going to hate that? But yeah. Like, it's a woman, right? Okay, cool. I got it this time. and you know, she's right that like everybody who lists like what they don't want always does sound really angry. I would guess that there's way more to this story than just that. Like that there's no way that it's just that. Like it's gotta say more about this person. Like you don't like this person's general vibe. Because there are people out there who are just like, because there's different ways to be on your phone all the time.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I mean, again, I'm a fan of calling it out and the radical honesty approach.
Yeah,
it's just like, just say like, hey, I like kind of hate when we're together that you're on your phone so much. And like, yeah.
Also, I think just like suggesting a dinner with no phones, like trying to like implement that kind of thing into the relationship or something.
It almost sounds like he wants to communicate with her via the phone, though.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't sound like he's, like, checking texts. It sounds like he's just like, oh, my God, do you remember what happened in 1988 on Jenny Jones? And she's like, I don't care. And he's like, I care. And so, I don't, it might just be, you're just, like, different people. Like, there are people like that who it's, like, all they want to do is, like, look up clips and blah, 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 blah.
Right.
Usually they're teenage boys, but sometimes they're not. And so... So it just, you guys just might be different.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I do know people like that who it's just like all they want to do is like look up clips and blah, 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 blah. And other people who are like, that's not how I want to live my life.
The other way, especially in a place like New York, is to find places that are in like basements so you literally can't use your phone.
There we go.
Because then maybe he's
you
like
don't
nervous.
Have to say that.
Like, I don't want to play like devil's advocate for this dude, but I'm just like, maybe he's like nervous. I don't know how long they've been dating, but like, if you're relying on like weird YouTube clips to communicate with this girl you're dating, like, you might be nervous around it. I don't know. It's just like a weird vibe. It's just a weird vibe.
All right. Solved it.
Solved it.
Obviously solved it.
But yes, this is hard work. You guys have a lot of great queries, and we clearly have the best answers. And we'll get to even more of your dating questions right after this commercial break.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
All right, here's another one. So here's my situation. My partner and I have been together for 4.5 years. We agreed that we would wait until after he finished his PhD to get engaged. He finished his PhD almost 8 months ago, and it's been silent on the engagement front. I have started thinking about proposing to him instead. I mentioned it in a joke to him, and his response was, quote, "That's progressive." So do I just do it, or do I wait for him to get his shit together? Also, he's from another culture than I am, so I'm worried that if I am the one who asks, his family will look down on me more than they already do. Help.
Everything's so complicated.
I know.
I'm so exhausted by other people's love. It's like, ugh.
I don't know. It seems like it's important to this person that the other person proposes.
I was going to say, I don't think she wants to propose. She just wants it to happen.
Right.
So can she talk to him about it?
Right.
That's the thing that's always so crazy to me about it. I mean, don't get me wrong. I get it. But like, I also haven't been in a position where I'm about to marry someone. And I feel like if you're about to marry someone, you should be able to talk about anything.
Right.
In my mind. And so like, can't you just be like, hey, I know this is awkward, but we said that we were going to do this. Like, does this mean anything? Do you need more time? Like, whatever. It's okay to say, right?
Because I feel like part of the way that we as a culture have talked about engagements is that it should be a surprise. It should be some like big elaborate thing that no one sees coming.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that marriage isn't a surprise. Marriage shouldn't be a surprise. The engagement can be, but you guys talking about, you've already talked about it. You talked about wanting to get engaged and like waiting until after he got his PhD. So you should just bring up the fact that that passed, maybe with a card that says, "Congrats on your PhD. Now I need mine pretty huge diamond ring." you've already talked
pretty
about it.
Parentheses ring. I assume the parentheticals there.
They're there.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Just talk about it.
Yeah. It's one of my, as someone whose friends are all getting engaged and as someone who's been in a relationship for 5 years, one of my least.
Hand.
No.
Come on a podcast and tell him to fucking propose.
Yeah. No, I hate when I had a friend who was like, yeah, like my boyfriend just asked me to marry him. We haven't talked about marriage at all. That's fucking crazy to me. You should talk about it.
Yeah.
The proposal itself can be a surprise, but marriage should be something you have a deep, long conversation, many conversations about.
Right.
It's not something that just happens and then you're good to go. Like, it's a constant, it's just a new form of the relationship you're in.
Yeah, if you can't even talk about this, I'm like, I don't know. That just always bums me out when people are like, how do I tell him? I'm like, this bums me out.
That's what, in some ways, it gives me some hope where I'm like, oh, everyone is just this confused always, even when you're 4 years into
Same.
It. You don't
I'm
know.
Like, oh my God, really? I'm gonna be fine.
Right. Or it's just like, deeply nihilistic where I'm like, oh, we're all fucked always.
Exactly.
Everyone is alone inside their own house.
That's why the first place I went to was like, I'm exhausted.
But that's why I'm always a fan of like, over communication. Clearly
so
a losing strategy, but
same. But the second I shut down is when it's like, I've lost it.
But I feel like, I don't know. To me, the like payoff of over-communication is worth it.
I agree.
When it goes well.
I agree.
Anyway.
Solved it.
Solved it.
All right, we have one more Valentine's Day episode question. Let's do it. How do you approach someone when you know you're not that person's type? I'm a creative, educated, and passionate individual, but I'm not someone that most of the world slash media slash society would consider hot or attractive. I personally am fine with my outer appearance, and I'm slowly working toward what makes me happy, not for anyone else. You probably wouldn't be able to tell that just by looking at me. I also am a sober queer guy, and bars and clubs make me anxious, but those are the majority of places to find other queers. I never usually get approached at a bar, and I don't usually make moves either because I'm usually too intimidated. Also, I've been dating on apps for years, but deleted them all about 7 months ago because I felt like I was wasting so much of my time looking for someone, but rarely was messaged back. So I guess what I'm asking is, does Matt want to go on a date sometime?
Oh my God.
No, but like actually.
Oh my God. No, thank you.
Oh my God.
But I love you. No, I definitely feel the same way, though. And I think that the thing that I have to try to learn or unlearn is, like, you don't know that you're not anybody's type. Like,
yeah.
You are assuming that, like, oh, if I go up to this person, I won't be their type. But you don't know that. Which is, yeah, a thing that I constantly have to, like, remind myself of. Yeah, just assuming that everybody is like me and that we've been consuming the same, like, gay content, and so everybody has this porn.
Right.
I tried to put a fancy word for it. Yeah, we're like, I don't know. I definitely have this assumption where everybody is looking for this, like, one ideal body type, and it's reinforced by everybody on Instagram and Twitter, and it's just, like, that is not the case for so many people. For the majority of people is who don't have that exact body type. So to assume that, like, that is the only type that people are attracted to is just wrong. But also, I've been there, and I get it, and it's like, I'm still working through it, too, and I... Yeah, it takes time.
Can I just provide a counterpoint?
You are nobody's type.
No, I was going to say, like, just, like, think about all the people who are, like, everyone's type and, like, still can't find anyone good.
Right, right.
You know? Because, like, you know, I'm not saying it's me or it is. But it's just, like, I definitely have people who are, like, you're it for me. And I'm, like, well, you're not it for me. And it's, like, really hard. Like, think about the hot people, too.
We're all struggling.
Everyone's struggling. Mostly hot people, though.
Yeah.
Solved it.
So, yeah, thank you to everybody for sending us your questions. And thank you, Lane, for all of your amazing wisdom, as always. Where can people find you and your work?
Yeah, I'm at Hello Lane Moore on Instagram and Twitter. And my book is How to Be Alone If You Want To and Even If You Don't. And I do a show called Tinder Live that Matt has done. Every month in New York City at Littlefield, and I'm about to go on tour. I'm going to Baltimore and Chicago and like 50 cities in like the next few months.
Oh,
I'm really excited.
God.
Over the spring. So I'm really excited. Yeah.
And
so go look them up.
Because it has been a little while since you were here, tell people what happens at Tinder Live.
Oh, fuck yeah. I'm getting ready to do one literally on Valentine's Day. Is that when this will be airing?
This will air before,
so people can go.
Oh, good. Yes, you should come. It's literally going to be, if you're in New York City, it'll be on Valentine's Day itself. If you're not in New York City, come to another one. When I'm in your city, it'll feel like Valentine's Day with all the murky, confusing feelings. So on Tinder Live, I go on my Tinder on a big projector screen, and then everybody in the audience votes whether I swipe right or left on it, on the guys on screen. And then we basically talk to the guys on Tinder who, like, you'd never want to talk to. Like, just, like, the weirdest dudes. And we're like, yes, swipe right to you. And then I play a character who's, like, kind of drunk and dumb and a little bit like brain damaged but super horny, and then we talk to them, and then oftentimes, especially in smaller towns, people in the audience will be like, I dated him for 6 years, and you're like, wonderful, tell me everything, maybe. And then they do. Dude, the last month's Tinder Live, there were in New York City, there were 10 people in the audience who had dated this guy. It was like a fucking
10?
Support group. And then when I got off stage, someone was like, dude, there were people you didn't even get around to who were like, I also dated him. Like, it was like God. A third of the audience was just like, I too have dated Greg. Like, it was just so.
And then he stood up and right. he was there with
Greg
a new
was
person.
Like, I am Greg. Like, it was so, but it's just like totally improvised, totally insane, and like super, super fun.
Yeah, it's always so much fun because you truly don't know what's going to happen.
No, not at all. And it's like, it takes the sting out of it because like dating apps can be so like heavy and depressing. And like when you're watching it, you're just like, oh, everyone goes through this. And I think there's something about having someone on stage just like saying ridiculous things to these guys in like a really empowered way.
Right.
Is a lot more fun than just being like, oh, how am I supposed to respond to this? I'm like, I'm going to tell them I'm trapped in the woods. So I'm just going to see how that shakes out.
Yeah. Yeah. And oftentimes it's shockingly effective.
It's so funny that when people come to Tinder Live for the first time and they're like, I always think these guys are going to like tap out. I'm like, they never do. It's like the promise of sex. They don't care what it is. I told a guy once I was like trapped in a can of beans. And I was like, I'll be right out. But like, I'm so slippery. And he was like, that sounds awesome. What are you doing tonight? And I was like, I love and hate this show. It's so effective.
Have you ever gone on a date with someone from Tinder Live?
Years ago, I will not again.
Yeah.
Because you got to think about it. Like, the guys I'm talking to on Tinder Live are not...
Yeah.
Like, that, like the reason I swiped on them is because they didn't seem that great. There's something about them seemed a little bit off. But I did once go on a date with a guy I met on Tinder Live, and we went to like indoor mini golf. and then it was in the winter, and he was like, "Do you want to go for ice cream in the winter?" Okay. After
I don't have a problem with that. Yeah, I understand
what you're saying.
Not the worst thing, but already I'm just setting the stage because it gets worse. I assumed he had his car there. And so I assumed, okay, this is cute. We're going to drive to ice cream because it's winter. No, he wanted to walk 2 miles in winter to get ice cream.
No.
And he had a car there. His car was right there. I can't. And then like we walked like 2 blocks and I was like, I think I'm just going to go home because I'm really cold.
Fucking winter.
He's like, oh, hey. And I was like, get away from me.
You learned your lesson.
Nice guy, but screw that.
All right, we're almost there. We're almost at the end of the show. But first, our chasers. Chasers are the good stuff that helps all the bad stuff go down easier. Starting with the TV shows we've been watching this week. Barry, what you been watching?
Well, I'm watching something that you also are watching. So we're just going to both talk about the HBO documentary series, McMillions.
Yes.
It's a wild ride.
Well, I've only seen one episode.
Right. Fun fact, I am a consulting producer on the McMillions podcast, which everyone can go subscribe to. It's hosted by the directors of the series, and they bring on the characters from the show to talk about their experiences and things like that, and a lot of deleted scenes. It's really fun. But that also means I've seen more of the episodes than you have, because I have screeners. So I'll let you tell us what McMillions is about.
Yeah. So McMillions is a HBO documentary series about the McDonald's Monopoly game sweepstakes thing that was very popular in like the late 90s, 2000s.
Late 80s all the way to the early 2000s.
Right. And the FBI in Florida, shockingly.
Yeah. A lot of Florida characters in this series.
Discovered that someone was like gaming the game.
Mm-hmm.
And all of these prizes worth millions of dollars were perhaps being won by people who were related to one another. And the odds of that actually happening were like astronomically high. And so they were like, something fishy's going on here. And so, the story is kind of, it's about uncovering what this scandal, this grift. And I mean, the great thing about it, based on episode one alone, is that it's a documentary series. It's all real. But also the people who are like the talking heads in this documentary are so entertaining.
They're incredible, incredible interviewees.
Yeah. And they're just, it's funny. You're like, okay, you're an FBI agent, but also I want to be your friend. And also I'm a little scared of you. I mean, the first episode is like, there's this one agent in particular who like desperately wants to go undercover.
Doug Matthews.
Is ridiculous for this type of thing, but you'll have to see if it actually happens. But it's very entertaining.
Yeah, so we're both watching that, and both, you might say, we're loving it.
Shut the fuck up. I love it. What's your non-TV chaser?
My chase of this week is loose leaf tea.
Yes. Oh, so exciting.
Last week, classical music. This week, loose leaf tea.
We get it.
I'm an old British lady. So there's a specific loose leaf tea that I got recently. It's from this business called Brooklyn Tea that's in Bed-Stuy. It's like a really, really nice establishment. The people who work there are really nice. And they have so much tea there. And it's a cream Earl Grey. And it smells like vanilla, but it's a really good Earl Grey, and I fucking love it. And I love making it every morning. I like brought some to work so that in case I don't have time to have it at home, I can make it at work. And like, it's so tasty, and it's got caffeine, but not too much because I'm a sensitive little baby. And yeah.
Why loose leaf?
Partially environmental reasons, mm-hmm. and partially quality.
Do you use the like little ball, the mesh ball?
We have a couple. Ours are like a metal because you can get them, you know, buy like vintage ones on eBay for really cheap.
Oh, a vintage tea ball.
But then also my Aunt Ruth many years ago, before I even really drank tea, because I love manatees, she got me a manatee, which are popular. Yeah. So I have that one too. The tea can kind of get stuck in the tail.
Right.
But I do like using that one. That's what I do. But it brings me joy every morning. So that's my chaser this week.
Nice.
What about you?
I have two. One is, I posted this on Instagram, but there is an episode of This American Life from last week called The Show of Delights.
Mm-hmm.
It's guest hosted by Bim Adewunmi, who's been a guest on Happy Hour before.
We love Bim.
She is co-host of Thirst Aid Kit with Nicole Perkins.
Which you also were on.
Yeah. Thirst Aid Kit, quick aside, is a show with Bim and Nicole where they thirst after their favorite people. And they had me do a special episode explaining my love of Harry Styles.
Yes.
So you can see that on Slate. But Bim guest hosted this episode of This American Life. And it's all about just like happy stories, like delightful stories.
I need to listen to that. That sounds so cleansing.
I've been going since it's been like terrifyingly warm in New York in February and mm-hmm. January. I've been going on my usual like walk. I have a route that I go on. And I was listening to it on the street and like genuinely like crying. It's a happy.
I love a public cry.
I was just telling someone like I've been pretty good in the 8 years that I've been in New York of never like openly crying on the street.
Oh, it's like weekly for me.
And I don't know if this counts because it's like I'm being moved by like a particular.
You're crying in public, bitch. It counts.
But I'm not like sobbing over. Yeah. I mean, not entirely unrelated to my own personal life. But I think, it was a really great episode. I love Bim. I love the idea of doing stories about stuff that makes you happy, which I know is antithetical to this podcast.
But is perfect for this chaser.
But yeah, it does make me think a lot about like wanting to be. I know stuff like a gratitude journal sounds, you know, I'm trying to fight that part of me that wants to roll my eyes.
I think I've started journaling a lot more like I used to. And I have been trying to not think of it as a gratitude journal, but just like writing. Just writing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It makes me think about, in general, and I know in some ways this is an attack on the idea of unhappy hour, but it is so much easier in general to find the cynicism in something and to find the negativity. Mm-hmm. And like the more shit that goes down in public, the more you're like, okay, it's actually way harder to find the joy and delight in this.
Yeah.
And way like braver.
Yeah.
Very cheesy.
I mean, coming up with chasers every week has made a difference in my life in terms of like, we are forcing ourselves to think of something that really made us happy this week.
Yeah.
So maybe instead of a gratitude journal, you should think of it as a journal of your chasers.
Exactly. Yeah. So this episode of This American Life, I enjoyed a lot, particularly the last segment, which is a story about Tracy Clayton, also former guest.
We also love Tracy.
Where she kind of talks about how her entire kind of presence on the internet is about being delightful and spreading delight, but that she was very depressed and like it's a difficult thing to maintain that kind of public face while kind of going through shit at home. That was the part that got me.
Yeah.
And this never happens to me, but I ran into someone I knew on the street. And it was like in the thick of that story where I was like, oh, my God. And then I ran into my friend's boyfriend on the street. And I was like, I had to turn it around real quick. Then he was like, what are you doing? And I was like, I was just out running errands. Just crying on the street. Anyway, so that is my first one. And my second one is just, I'm getting much better at giving up on books that I don't like.
Okay.
So that is my chaser. That's my second chaser is I'm pro giving up on books that you don't like. I think when I'm in like a reading lull, which I feel like I've been in, mm-hmm. I realize I need to pick up a book that I know I'm gonna like really like, that's like fun and easy and not too much work, because I always feel bad when I start a book and I don't finish it. I feel like I have to finish it, but why? I just, the amount of books that I'll be able to read in my lifetime, it's not worth it.
It's not.
I don't have to read an 800 page book that's one sentence long. I don't have to read a book about the evolution of birds. So the book I've been reading this week is called Nothing to See Here. It's very funny. It's about this woman whose college roommate calls her years later. They have a very complicated history, and asks her to watch her stepchildren who randomly catch on fire if they become too upset. It's very weird.
That sounds amazing.
But it's very enjoyable, and it's like a very quick read. Yeah. And so I'm embracing the idea of putting down books that I don't like, picking up books that I do like, and not being too hard on myself.
And burning the rest.
So fuck you! And that's it for this week. So thank you for listening to Unhappy Hour. You can head to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you get podcasts, hit that subscribe button, then rate us and review us, but only if it's nice. I don't want to hear your shit. Unhappy Hour is a production of Pineapple Street Studios. It's produced by Barry Finkel, Melissa Slaughter, and me, Matt Bellassai. Special thanks to Jenna Weiss-Berman and Max Linsky. Our music is by Hansdale Sue. You can bother Barry at Finkelberry Pie. You can worship me at Matt Bellassai. And you can follow Unhappy Hour Pod on Twitter for all the latest podcast buzz. And that's it. That's everything. Thank you for listening. See you next week. Bye-bye. You can't hurry love. Oh, you just have to wait. You gotta trust, give it time, no matter how long it takes.